Well, tonight we have a special ministry and song. Mrs. McClelland is going to sing for us tonight and bring a testimony, well, that she has been known for. She's sung this particular hymn in time past, and we had a request that she would be able to minister in song for us tonight. We're very happy that she has acquiesced to that, so please, she's going to come and minister in song at this time. Thank you very much, Mrs. McClellan, for ministering to us in song tonight. And that is a testimony that I believe every child of God will be able to say and desires now to say. But there is no doubt that when we come to stand before Christ and all life is over and everything is done, and there's nothing more that we can do in suffering for the Lord, that will be our prayer. So thank you very much for ministering to us tonight. Please turn in your Bibles now to the book of Psalms, Psalm 5. Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness, their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. The Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's please bow in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee tonight for the opportunity we have had so far in this service of singing, of reading the Scripture, of hearing this testimony in song. And dear Lord, we pray that now we would be settled and still. The Spirit of God would take Thy holy word and write it upon our hearts. Please help us, Lord, tonight to receive the word, to have it impressed on our minds, and that we would be edified and built up in our most holy faith. Hear this prayer tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to draw your attention, please, to verse number 11 of Psalm 5. It says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. We know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let no Christian be deceived or confused, but that we are in a battle of far greater importance than any contest that has to do with what's going on in an earthly way. Certainly much more important than a contest over real estate or even financial control or empires in this world. The conflict of the Christian is against spiritual forces. From the beginning of time, this evil has been at work against God and against His people to destroy everything that is right and true. We sang this morning Psalm 1. It speaks about the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. Their paths continue to cross in what we can say is bitter conflict, and it will do so until the end of time. For the Christian, the outcome we have is one of great victory. It is certain. It is certain because the ungodly have been declared in Psalm 1, and for that matter, through this very Psalm 5 we have been talking about, and their outcome is one that is defeated. And it's not defeated because of you and I. It's not defeated because of our power. It is defeated because we know that Christ has risen victoriously from the grave and that He is at this very moment at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and He is living to intercede for His people, and He has promised that He is going to return back to this world again. If we did not have that hope, we would be of all people most miserable. But there is a certain glory and a victory that we have. We have all been watching the news media of the last couple of days. We know the events that have taken place in Iran. We know the events that have been threatened in reciprocation for that. And we would wonder, is it the beginning of the end in what's going on in the Middle East? There can be many things that would cause us to be uneasy and uncertain. But friend, understand this, that there is not one thing that will occur in this world that is outside of the control and allowance of a sovereign and all-powerful God. And for the Christian, we can stand tonight with great confidence. The enemy and the accuser will roar. But we know that the living God is in absolute control of all that is going on in the world today. And God wants His people to live and to walk in the understanding and in the rest and trust that He is doing according to a perfect plan. There is an unceasing conflict. We know that. And how we ask the question sometimes, is the believer to survive, let alone have joy in living a life for God? Sometimes we have to conclude by our lack of faith, it is an impossibility. And we could say with men, it would be impossible. But not with God. For with God, my friends, all things are gloriously possible. And what the Lord wants for His people, He wants that we walk in fellowship with Him and in the joy and peace and assurance that He is in control of all things. He wants, dear believer, tonight, your joy to be full. He wants us to be at peace with Him. This is God's desire for His people. Yes, even in the midst of great turmoil and great conflict. God has promised, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, whose heart is stayed, is secured upon the living God. In Psalm 5 and verse 11, David talks about the blessing of a life of joy for those who abide in God. And so may the Lord help us tonight to rejoice in Him no matter what this life will bring to us, no matter what unknowables are going to be filled up in this life, no matter how much violence takes to the streets of our city, no matter how many gunmen take out their weapons and will proceed with their gang warfare, no matter, sadly, how many murders will take place in the very city or this place of Scarborough that we live in. We must, my dear believer, we must rest in the Lord and trust in Him that He is fulfilling and doing and will be watching over and protecting His people no matter what. Please notice with me then from Psalm 5 and verse 11. The first thing is this, that trusting in the Lord is the very basis of our rejoicing. For those that put their trust in Thee, not in family, not in friends, not in your money, not in fame, certainly not in a guarantee of what the future will hold, none of those things. For the true Christian trusts in the Lord and we will be safe. To trust in the Lord, it's to place your absolute confidence in His ability and in His willingness to save your soul from sin and judgment and to keep you in every single circumstance of life. There is a settled peace in the heart. And that peace, my friend, it comes to the soul. Do you remember the day when the Lord saved you from your sin? Do you remember the peace that came into your heart when Christ flooded your empty heart, your empty mind, and He brought to you the realization that judgment is past because all of the judgment for your sin fell upon Christ your Savior. And as a result of that, you have been set free tonight. Do you remember what that was like, that feeling? To trust in the Lord and to place your absolute confidence in Him. That settled peace to know that all is good, even when all seems to be very bad. Horatius Spafford wrote in his hymn, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, Thou, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Spafford knew that Christ was the anchor of his soul, and in the very deepest and in the darkest time of his life, when much of his family had been taken away, he could write the words that we have come to so say are precious to us. Those who are without Christ, they do not have this peace because, my dear friend, they do not know what it is to trust in the God of peace. Oh, they may have a resolve to get through hard times, or they may have and try to find ways to distract them from the pain and the anguish. And many, sadly, they turn to the harmful drugs or alcohol or some kind of therapy. But there is no real happiness. There is no real rejoicing because there is nothing that will endure. There is nothing that can bring satisfaction to a life that is overwhelmed with the issues of trial and temptation and pain. But it is not so with our God. For He gives a divine joy.
He gives my dear friend a joy that satisfies the very human heart. And it is only after we have experienced sometimes the emptiness and dissatisfaction of the broken pipes of this world's supply that we will be able to say this: now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee. I ask you tonight, my friend, is it well with your soul? Do you have the peace and joy of knowing your sins have been forgiven? Are you trusting in the living God tonight for your eternal well-being? Oh, if not, is it not time now to cast your everything upon Christ and to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart. I confess my sin. And I say, Lord Jesus, save me. It doesn't matter how young you are here tonight. It doesn't matter, my friend, how old you are. It doesn't matter how many times you've heard the gospel message. Do you realize that this word is a word for you that God has given you tonight? And it may well be that tonight is the beginning of eternity for you. Would you place your hope in Him? Would you place your everlasting trust in the living God? For in so doing, you will know something of the joy and peace that David spoke about for all those that put their trust in Him. Yes, there is a rejoicing for all of God's people. For David spoke of all those that trust in Thee. You know, the Lord reserves His special joy for His people. The benefit of sins forgiven and the benefit of having peace with God, it is not just for some believers, but it is for all of God's elect, all of His chosen ones. And friend, if you have been born again by God's free grace, if you know what it is to have been washed in the precious blood of Christ, then you possess tonight all of the rights and all of the benefits and all that comes with the redemptive work that Jesus our Lord has done. You have a right to the possession of eternal life, and no one can take that from you. There is no power that can wrench that out of your life. You are held in the hands of a sovereign God, and your Father, your heavenly Father, He holds you tonight. And there is no force and no power in hell, on earth, or even in heaven that can take you out of His hand. You are secure tonight. And what God intends for you to experience is to receive His grace and the blessings that He has prepared for His own children, and those spiritual blessings which are full and they are free and they are abundant to all and every one of us. For all those that have put their trust in God tonight can rejoice. Is that you, friend? I know that there are many in this building, and there are many who are watching online tonight, and you can say, yes, I know that Jesus belongs to me. I know that I belong to Him, not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity, for all those that put their trust in Him can rejoice. Here's a point that must be emphasized, because though there are certain blessings which the Lord gives, or sometimes we call them talents, and He may distribute a variety of them and a quantity of them to his people, and there may be some degree of that. We have evidence in the scripture. He gave to some talent, some one, some five, some tenth, and the Lord called a day of accounting to give account for what we have been blessed with. But do you know that there are no degrees of justification? There is not one saved sinner that is more justified than another one. The greatest theologian that has ever lived is not more justified before God than the simplest person who has received Christ. There is a great equality in that. And so, friend, tonight, you don't have to worry about someone having a greater degree of sonship. There's no one that is a greater daughter to the Lord than another. All are equal in Christ because we have been saved by His sovereign grace. And Christ that died, He died to shed His blood to save us equally from our sins. And we are all accounted for by our loving Father, by the blood that has been shed for us, by the atonement that has been made on our account. And tonight we know with absolute certainty we are alive in Jesus. And tonight we love Him because He has first loved us. And when we taste of this great truth, what does it do for the heart of the child of God? It brings for us, friend, tonight a settled peace and joy. It is for all of God's people. There is joy and peace in believing. And this blessing, it's not designated for simply the young or the old or the rich or the poor, those who are educated or not so. It is for all of God's precious children from all time. And it will be until the very last one has been brought into the kingdom before Jesus Christ returns. Yes, my friend, tonight there is joy and there is peace in believing. But there is another thing here tonight in this text. There is a continuous rejoicing that David is speaking about. He says, "Let them ever shout for joy. Let them ever shout for joy." Now, as we were reading through Psalm 5, there is no doubt you saw there was a lot to do with those who were the enemies of God's people. And as David prayed for the swift destruction of those that rose up against God or rose up against His people, yet he was able to say that there is a continuous shout of joy in the hearts and on the minds of God's people. Do you know, my dear friend, that God intends for you to always be joyful? What does it say in Philippians chapter 4? "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." And Paul reiterated that. We read from Philippians chapter 2, and I specifically did it because it showed us there in four different times that word rejoice was repeated. And Paul was able to say, though he suffered so much in leading the New Testament church, he suffered so much as he was either in prison or in turmoil or being beaten or suffering shipwreck. And yet here was this man of God who really had almost nothing of this world's good. And yet he could say, "I rejoice with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory." He could rejoice in all that God had done for him and through him. And I have to confess, and maybe you do tonight as well, this is a very hard thing to really put into practice day by day. There are so many things that come across our lives as Christians that can bring sorrow to us, and sadness, and upset, and grief, and pain, that the idea of having a constant joy, it seems almost an impossibility. And yet, when we are hit with the limitations of our human understanding, we must come to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not unto our own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3. We are told that our Savior was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yet we also are told that He rejoiced in His Spirit. And how could He do that when He had the mission of the cross continually in front of Him? Friend, I will tell you how He did that. Because He looked beyond the cross. He looked beyond the suffering. He knew that what He had to endure on the cross was there for Him. He could not and would not escape that. He knew what Gethsemane was going to mean for Him as He sweat great drops of blood to the ground. He knew the cup of sin that He had to drink for us. He knew that pain was upon Him. But who for the joy that was set before Him? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. When you feel the joy of Christ in your heart slipping away from you, when you sense that depression is creeping in, and what are we to do? Oh, friend, we return to the fountain of all truth, the fountain of all knowledge and wisdom. We come back to the Word of God. We come back to think again of what our Lord has done for us. And when we perceive the cross and everything in this life that we must go through, certainly it falls into nothingness compared to what Christ our Lord has done for us. It is in light of the cross work that you and I will be able today and tomorrow and next month to rejoice with joy that is unspeakable. Oh, my friend, may the wonder of Calvary, the wonder of our Lord Jesus, may that chase away every shadow of darkness and despair and doubt. May the glory and victory of Christ fill our hearts with such joy that it restores what we have lost. And the restoration of that is such a refreshing thing to know that the years that the locusts have eaten can be gloriously restored to our lives. And so as we commence again another year, as we start again on the road of fresh commitment to our God, as we give ourselves with untiring devotion to Him, let us say, Lord, all that we must do and accomplish this year, may it be with a true spirit of rejoicing in Him. Let us return, my friends, to the foundation of our faith, coming back to the foot of Calvary's cross, for there we gaze upon our Redeemer who died in our place and has shed His own precious blood to wash our sins away and to give us eternal life so that we will never perish. A fresh look by faith is what is needed. And to know that no power and force can ever keep us out of heaven. Once we are saved, friend, we are saved for time and for eternity. And we only have God to look forward to. I don't know what this life, this year will mean for any one of us yet. We can only surmise, we might imagine, we might wonder. But nonetheless, what thing we know for certain is that we are going home to glory soon. We are going home to heaven, and we will never be cast off from the Lord. The joy that is prepared for us will never end. And whatever pain and suffering and tears that we have to endure here through this life's journey, there is continual rejoicing for us in the world that is to come. But we have to be realistic, don't we? We must understand that there are some things that can rob us of our joy in this life. Sin will rob us of our joy. David said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Sin is a great robber, and it comes by stealth so often, and we have succumbed to some temptation. One man said that permitted sins always make men weak. Think about that for a moment. Permitted sins always make men weak, and women as well. And so when we do not deal ruthlessly with the sins that have either been in our life or the temptations that we have given into, and if we allow ourselves to come close to sin, it will bite us. It will leave great carnage in our lives. No, we must be very, very careful and not give in to the temptations that the devil would set before us. Therefore, friend, we can't be surprised when the joy of the Lord is gone from us. If we don't have any real peace or satisfaction, maybe it's time for us to look deep down inside and see, is there something that we're harboring there? Is there something that we have not confessed to the Lord? The world cannot truly satisfy. It can't really break down and give to us the things that will be for our best. No, there is nothing that we can do and put in place of the joy that God has already given to us. Once a person has been truly converted and saved and delivered from the world, to think of going back to that again and finding satisfaction, there will never be any real joy there. There will only be a mixture of murk and mire and dissatisfaction. The disobedience of King Saul, it cost him the kingdom. And after failing to obey the clear command that God had given him to destroy all of Amalek and all that they had, you know, he boldly stated to Samuel, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." How deceptive is sin? Saul thought for a moment that he had completed all that God had told him to do, but he was completely upside down and backward. He had not obeyed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel made it so very clear to him in a number of cases. Don't deceive yourself, friend, with sin and temptation, and thinking, "I can go carry on with this. This is not such a big deal." You cannot. We cannot disobey God and have His blessing in our hearts and have the real joy of the Lord in our life. It will be always a sting and a disappointment. Sometimes we have to say honestly that we have been lazy in spiritual matters. Why is our soul often grieved and we have no joy? Maybe the answer is because of our slothfulness in God's things, in His Word and prayer. There is perhaps no subtler way that our joy will be taken from us than we depart from those very basic and common duties of Christian life. A little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, the proverb says. And if that's the case in spiritual duties, then we will be the loser. David said, "I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me." The house of the Lord. You know, this is the place where God commands a blessing for you. And there are times, quite frankly, when there are people who come to the morning service, but they don't come to the evening service. And maybe it's a feeling that, well, once a day church is all that I need. Ah, friend, it may well be that there's a blessing that you are missing out. For every time that God's people come together, each time that the Word of God is open for us, there is something that the Lord has to feed our souls. And it's so vital that we take up everything that the Lord has for us. Why would we want to leave out part of a meal or something that is nutritious that we can be blessed and benefited by? The means of grace. We've been talking a little bit about that in late times when we're thinking about what it means to be in the fellowship of God's people in a true and faithful and healthy and honorable church in the New Testament. These things we've been thinking about, the means of grace. And the Lord has prepared them for us. Meeting for prayer, meeting for public worship, meeting around His Word, following faithfully the ordinances of the New Testament, whether it's the Lord's table, as we were thinking of this morning, or baptism, as we're thinking about at the end of January, if God permits. And all of these things come together, and many more, that the Lord has made it possible for us to be as iron sharpening iron, as one believer will fellowship with another believer, and we will encourage each other. And all of these things come together as the Lord has prepared the means of grace for the child of God to enjoy Him, enjoy God, and be filled with His joy and anticipation. And He wants that joy to be a continuous thing. Don't let anyone or anything steal that away from you, believer, tonight. Let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. There is a shout of joy that David talked about here, an expression that means to sing and to sing aloud. And when we encourage the congregation to lift voices and hearts in singing, it may not be that you have a tune that you carry in the singing, but that's not the important thing at all. It is that there is a shout of joy, a shout of praise from the hearts of God's people. And perhaps there's no better way for the Christian to express their joy in the Lord than in singing in a public way. It is here that we can unite our voices with others who love the Lord in the singing of the praises of the name of our great God and Savior. There may be times when you don't feel like singing. I know what that's like. Everybody's in the same boat. There are real times where you feel, I just don't feel like singing at all. But you know, when the song of the Lord comes to the heart of His people, well, praise is not far away from the heart. And the people of the Lord, we have a right to shout and to sing because of everything that we have in God. You know, it is summed up in this verse, them that love Thy name. And if you love the Savior tonight, if you love God, it's all summed up right here. We love Him because He has first loved us. And we are assured that God's love could not be extended to us in any greater way than He already has done. There's no more evidence that you and I need of God's love for us. It is all there in the giving of His Son. And God's love is so intense and so direct to us. And the joy that we have in Him is because of His great love for us. And I wonder, friend, because of that, have you thought so far this year, by way of a resolution, that you will give your life to God in fresh service as we start this year? Has that been a prayer in your heart? I hope it is. It is a prayer in my own heart. And I appreciate so much the words on the back of our bulletin today. I appreciate so much, Dana, that have put these on the bulletin for us. I want you to take your bulletin. If you have it tonight, if you don't have it with you, then please listen carefully as I read these words to you. This is written by Matthew Henry. Most of you in this church will know of Matthew Henry because of his commentary, a devotional commentary on the entire Bible. I have quoted him many times, and it would be a great companion as you're reading through your Bible to read Matthew Henry's commentary along with the Scripture, because he has so many salient points to bring out. At the beginning of each year, from the start of when he was 40 years old, Matthew Henry prayed a prayer to the Lord, and he devoted his life in whatever he had left. He didn't know if his life would end in that year or the next year. Listen to these words. Firmly believing that my times are in God's hand, I here submit myself and all my affairs for the ensuing year to the wise and gracious disposal of divine providence. Whether God appoint me health or sickness, peace or trouble, comforts or crosses, life or death, His holy will be done. All my time, strength, and service I devote to honor the honor of the Lord Jesus. My studies and all my ministerial labors and even my common actions, it is my earnest expectation, hope, and desire, my constant aim and endeavor, that Jesus Christ may be magnified in my body, in everything wherein I have to do with God. My entire dependence is upon Jesus Christ for strength and righteousness. And whatever I do in word or deed, I desire to do all in His name, to make Him my Alpha and Omega. I have all by Him, and I would use all for Him. If this should prove a year of affliction, a sorrowful year upon my account, I will fetch all my supports and comforts from the Lord Jesus and stay myself upon Him. His everlasting consolations and the good hope I have in Him through grace. And if it should be my dying year, my times are in the hand of the Lord Jesus. And with a humble reliance upon His meditation, I would venture into another world looking for the blessed hope. Dying as well as living, Jesus Christ will, I trust, be gain and advantage to me. Oh, that the grace of God may be sufficient for me to keep in me always a humble sense of my own unworthiness, weakness, folly, and infirmity, together with a humble dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ for both righteousness and strength. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Father, we often marvel and are overwhelmed by the words written by saints of God gone before us. A man like Matthew Henry, Lord, he knew You in a very intimate way, and it's so evident that he walked with God. Dear Father, our prayer would be, as we have set our motto text for this year, let this be a prayer of devotion from every saved heart in this place. And we would dare to say, for those who are listening online as well, may it be a prayer that we would do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with our God. For Lord, you have said this is a good thing, and we want to follow in that good pathway. Help us, we pray, to know the joy and peace day by day, and not to be overwhelmed and overcome with the petty things of this life. Give us a double portion of grace. Help us, we pray, to bear up under the thorn of the flesh that is not to be removed, but it must be borne and borne patiently. Give us, we pray, where we have great lack. And Father, may it please you to pour out your Spirit upon this fellowship in a mighty way in this year. Lord, we humbly ask for you to do this for the glory of Jesus alone. Hear our prayer, Lord, and bless us. Because without doubt, when we come to the end of our days, we're going to say as well, I'll wish I had given him more. More, so much more. So, Lord, part us now in thy fear and with thy rich blessing, and may our Savior be magnified through us, for we ask in his precious and holy name. Amen.